Okay, hey everybody.
Hey, good evening.
We've been playing with our computers for the last 15 minutes or so, I think we
Trying to
got
get
it.
it figured out so we can talk to each other.
That's crazy. I assume you can, I know we do this every week, but give us a check. Can you hear me and Connie?
Hello, hello, hello.
Good. All right. Excellent. So we are here for Growing with NTI. We are going to be looking at Holy Spirit's interpretation of 2 Timothy on page 383 of NTI tonight. That's where we're going to begin. If I have all my notes straight. Before we actually begin looking at that, my beautiful dear sister Connie has agreed to start us off with a prayer. So I'll turn it over to you, Connie.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, God. Providing this space for Jacqueline and I. We need it. Yeah, we need to be able to have a space where we can teach what we learn, where we can say it until we get it, where we can hear you and share with our brothers. I'm very, very, very happy to have this space. Let me get out of the way, so. My ego's not involved. I'm coming from my heart. I'm coming from the heart. Thank you,
Ben. Amen. Thank you, Connie.
Thank
you. It has been thoroughly thanked. We're good to go.
Sorry, I don't want to.
No, no, no. That was not meant as a criticism at all.
And when you just, it just strikes me that I'm grateful, and that's what I'll be praying about.
Yeah, well. It's, I agree. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Timothy, are you going to be able to read tonight?
I think I can read. Let's see. Okay. It is time to look within. Oh, I should say, Kathy just joined us, so I should say again, page 380, Kathy.
We got three and Cheryl and
no,
everybody
no.
in regular.
Marge is here. Meg's here.
Marge and Meg.
And Carmen and Kathy. And Blissful One who, I'm sorry. Blissful One is? They're going to tell me. I'm quite sure of it. Dawn. Thank you.
Don and Cheryl.
Yeah.
Man, it's a big crowd.
It's a
and
big
Radio
crowd.
Land.
And Radio Land and Ken.
Ken.
Yeah, wow. You better be on your best behavior tonight, Connie.
I guess so. And then,
Rebecca.
And then we'll be archived. And Rebecca, gosh, man. Okay. Bring your A game tonight.
That's right.
Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit only has the A game, don't
you? Yeah, it's you who doesn't bring it, right? The only thing that's lacking in this moment is what I feel to bring to it. The core tells us.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so you're right. We're ready to start Second Timothy, I guess.
Yes.
Chapter 1.
Yes. It is time to look within at the darkness that blinds you to your awareness of life.
Yes, ma'am.
You will see many things, all of which are false. Hold my hand and know it is your own truth that you hold to as we look together at all you are not.
I'd like to comment on that.
I'd like for you to.
You know, it seems kind of peculiar that in the second sentence, the Holy Spirit would say, you will see things, all of which are false. Like, really? Everything's false? But,
well, all the darkness is.
Yeah, I guess it's referring to the first sentence. So anything dark would be false. And of course, the forgiveness lesson always is that what you're seeing that is it's not true. So right here. It seems to me it's setting us up for the forgiveness.
Yeah, and I think the, and we'll see as we go along, but I think what I was thinking as I read this, that this is right on time for me and right on time for what we're doing in terms of general healing, because we have been looking at Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, I guess. But it's been talking about looking at the I am bad thought and the willingness to turn and look at that and just call it out and say, it's not truth. It's just another thought. You know, it might be one that we're used to frequently turning our attention towards, but the darkness has to be looked at so that it can be seen as false and released. Yeah. So, you see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see as you. Okay. You see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see as you. All of this is based on the measuring stick of personhood. I don't want you to deny how you feel. Denial's not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. I'm pretty amused right about now because everything is, all this stuff is just so right on time. I mean, and every time it's right on time. But it's just, you know, I'm chuckling because Regina and I were talking about some lifestyle changes maybe that that it would be good for me to make as a servant leader. And a servant leader in training. you know, I wrote an email and I think I said, well, you might have woke up one morning and been perfect. but,
you're
you
using
know.
That measure. You're using the measuring stick, weren't you?
Well, yeah, and the thing is what it says here in this first sentence, it says, you see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see it, than the one you see as you. So, and in my right mind, when Regina is, you know, doing her mentor thing, right, being the guru, being the teacher, in my right mind, I can hear that that's just crap from ego going, well, who does she think she is, right? and I can see, you know, so ego just takes that, you know, it's ego takes everything as an insult when she's just going, you know, maybe you want to be a little this way or you want to do a little of that. And ego hears, she's telling me I'm bad, right? Again, yeah, and we've talked about this measuring stick of personhood before as well. But it's not about that, right? It's about letting go of the idea that you are a person, not how good of a person. Yeah, you're not the boss of me. I think I might have said that, Kathy. But it's not about, how do I measure up person, which is where the ego would keep me, which is, I was telling Connie that, I got a lot going on. And anyway, it kept me up last night. The point being, sorry, I've been a little bit scattered today because of my sleep deprivation. But the point being that if you get stuck in that, who does she think she is? Who do I think I am? You're just stuck in that whole comparison thing, and that is the measuring stick of personhood. And the whole idea is to go, wait, none of that is true. She's not a person. I'm not a person. There is that. That's all of that is artificial. And then this last part of this paragraph. I mean, this is just so on point. It's like really. I was going to say funny, but spooky. But this last part is not about denying, okay, no, no, I am a good person. I can do this. It's not about that either. It's about seeing how that, how I'm looking through my filter. That's what I'm asked to do. Yeah, Cheryl says identifying with authority figure personhood. I guess. I mean, it's like we always talk about, it's like, where am I looking from? And if I'm looking from the person, if I'm looking from the I am bad thought, am I ever going to measure up? Am I going to be able to do this? Da 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 da. Then I'm going to be, then I'm going to be defensive. I'm not going to hear the instruction that's been given. I'm not going to see what I need to see. I'm not going to say I'm operating from my I am bad thought, because I'm stuck in this idea of personhood.
Yeah, and it's really not that hard to see either, because I mean, immediately you realize that there's some dark feeling there. It's either resentment, or you're mad, or you're pissed off, or whatever it is, and that's not of the Holy Spirit. So, real shot there. You're not in your right mind.
Right, and to simply, yeah. So again, the idea here is to let. Okay, so I'm going to take your hand. We're going to look at this together.
All right, let's go.
Right. Let's go. All right. Third paragraph. Yeah, he says, "Don't deny it. I want you to look at it and feel it with me." Okay, as we look at this feeling of less than, and the resentment that is missed for the one who acts out of, excuse me. As we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feelings the thoughts evoke. Explore within you the feeling. And this is, I mean, again, it's just really, really helpful. It's like, because the stories are going to run, so this is just yeah, really helpful. Let's move away from the stories and just be with this feeling. Can you see that it is just a feeling?
Back away from the good.
Back away from the thoughts. Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience. And it is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience, so let go of the thoughts and focus on the experience that they evoke. How interesting.
Kind of feels like an inquiry almost.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And
Calling you to an inquiry.
right. And how does that make you feel? Yeah. So let's read on a little bit. Okay. Life is a roller coaster of feelings, but when you're lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. What this brings up for me is this, this whole idea that Jeff Foster, that we've been looking at with Jeff Foster, about, you're not going to go. It's not about rejecting what you find within yourself. Going, oh, it's bad. I can't think that. Let me just get rid of that thought.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. So it's about really. And the other thing that comes up for me is in Peaceful Warrior, when Dan Millman's tells Socrates, he says, when so-and-so got hurt, I was thinking how it could work out for me.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Well, and he said, I don't, sometimes I'm not, a, yeah, I'm not a, I don't like who I am, or I'm not a nice something. He said, oh, you're in your thoughts. You think your thoughts tell you who you are. Right? So, again, it's ego getting you coming and going there. That's what seems to be being brought up here for me is this idea that it's like, look, you came to have this entire experience, so don't be just rejecting it, going, oh, that's not me, because that's denial, that's not helpful, you came here to have the experience, let's look at the experience, truly look at the experience you're having, let's not filter them through the, oh, I had that awful thought, I am bad, right? Let's just be an experience we're having.
Yeah, it's really funny that all this is coming up for me, too, because I certainly am. I was told the other day that that I don't out and out lie, but I lie through omission, which I think is probably true. Because it's things that I don't want to face, things I don't want to think about, things I don't want to have a confrontation about, so let's just not bring them up. Which I think is exactly what Holy Spirit's talking about here is it's avoidance. From what you were talking about, Jeff Foster. I didn't even know that wasn't the way you were supposed to live until just recently.
That, the omission part.
Yeah, I mean, if it's fearful, okay, let's move on. We don't want to think about that. We don't want to talk about that. If it's painful, let's not go there. If somebody else wouldn't like something I'm saying, well, let's not even tell them that. They just won't have to know that part about my life. So just lying through omission.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, you play your cards pretty close to your vest, Connie. Yeah. Life is a roller coaster of feelings, but when you're lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. It is as if you skim the surface, but you do not go in for a full flavor of experience. And so the desire for experience remains at a level of which you are not conscious. The
unanswered. He's calling it like he sees it.
That's right. The unanswered question remains unanswered because you have not allowed yourself the full experience by the distraction of your thoughts. So I have a couple notes here that I'll mention. Well, the first is, it says, when you're lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. And I've written here, compare Michael Singer, where he talks about the fact that we use our thoughts to interpret, control, and change the experience. Right? You know, you could just get a tree and go, and not go anything, just appreciate the tree, right? But what we do is we go, oh, look, is that an ash or a whatever? Right, whatever. I can only think of one kind of tree right this second. Is that an ash or an oak? Oh, you know, I remember my parents used to have one like that, you know, and the reason we narrate maple, elm, Kathy says, thanks, Kathy. The reason we narrate is to try to, it makes it feel like we are then able to control our environment. Like it's not just there, right, in our senses, in our, the narration makes us feel like we have control.
Yeah, and some of us spend our whole life doing that. I do that in my dreams.
Oh, really? Narrate your dreams?
Yeah. Now she's going to go downstairs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Well, and then the other little note I have here is I want experience, but I withhold myself from the moment by filtering it through my thoughts. And we've certainly heard a lot of folks talk about that. Jack O'Keefe has a talk on YouTube. I think it's called something like Letting Go of the Stories, right? And again, those stories are an attempt to set up. I mean, the stories are what are what supports this idea that there's a me, there's a you, there's a me, there's a tree that might be ash or elm or maple, right? But the stories are the filter that we, again, like Singer said, that we use to try and control what we're experiencing instead of just having the experience. Again,
yeah, and then we put them in a hierarchy and
right,
and have preferences about them and
right,
and so the real experience has gone by the wayside. I think you're right.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. So the whole point we're doing what we're doing is because we went, hey, wonder what it would be like to experience something other than the truth.
Yeah.
So we're given the opportunity to do that, and yet we don't because we want to. You know, we keep separate from it. The unanswered question remains unanswered because you have not allowed yourself the full experience by the distraction of your thoughts. This is the top of page 384. The good teaching that you have been trusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. You may call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Wow, this is pretty deep. Let me finish the paragraph. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. Gosh, I don't know where my... maybe it's in my journal here. You got something you want to say? I'll quit hemming and hawing around. Connie.
No, I just I mean it's just real clear to me reading this how I live my life this way.
always once removed.
Yeah. So it says when you feel guilty for desiring experience. I'm not quite getting that. Why would we feel guilty for desiring experience?
Why would we feel guilty for desiring experience? I guess because we're good course students and we know that it's all, you know, and none of it's real.
And they call them self-rationalizations or tools of denial.
So I don't know if this is relevant. I'm sorry, guys, for hemming and hawing around. I went to my journal because I had asked a question like last week about desire. So let me just, I'm just going to read it, and we can throw it if it's not helpful. But your desires, I said, what would you say to me about listening to the heart? And the response was, from Inner Wisdom, was, your desires are experienced by you as fear. You are afraid that what you want to happen won't. Because your fear seems to need tending to, your desires create a great distraction. You have asked, isn't it okay to have preferences? The difference between a preference and a strong desire is the fear attached to the latter. You must ask what you truly want. That question is answered by sitting in silence with me. You know the answer immediately. However, resting with that answer in silence helps you to remember your choice in times when your desires argue strongly for something else. In other words, in times of fear. What you are has nothing to fear. This is the assurance you find when you remember to rest in the resting place that is you. Continue to ask what you are to do based on your desire to know the truth. You need not attach fear to this desire. Fear that you will not achieve the object of your desire, that is, that you will not be heard and that I will not answer, need not be. This desire, being your one true desire, cannot be rebuked. The belief that desire begets fear will be undone as you place your faith in your desire and not in its absence. Well, that made things perfectly clear, didn't it? Maple, elm.
You know, I think we ought to just read the end of this section, and I think it'll come clear that way. So why don't you read 13 and 14 over and then go right to 15, 16 through 18.
Yes, ma'am. The good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. You may call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. Your guilt is a misperception and nothing more. But your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. That's it right there. Your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. It is time to let that obstacle go. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. God has granted you the right to have experience. God has granted you the right to have experience. You have within you the desire to have experience. This desire remains until you let it go. But you cannot fear it and let it go also. You must let yourself realize the experience to see that the experience can hold no limits that could ever limit or hinder you. Yeah, I mean, this is like one of the things that we looked at last week was talking about, again, once again, looking at our motivation. for doing our practices. And it's not, you know, it's not the, you can't be running away from something and expect to get healing. Right? It's got to be, the motivation has to be to uncover the truth. And in order to do that, you can't be rejecting parts of it out of fear that, you know, be exposed for the fraud that you are, that you're going to be exposed for, oh my God, she really does desire stuff. She's so bad. You know, it's all part of the necessity of letting go of that I am bad thought. I am looking at Cheryl's comment. She said that today's thought of awakening touches on us, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I can't, it's not coming to mind, but I am looking it up as we speak. Connie, what do you want to share?
I think you're right. It's that what we do is we feel guilty for our experiences, and then we try and cover them up, and we don't truly release them. We don't look at them fully with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit back here was telling us to be with those feelings.
Well, and I'll just I'll go ahead and read today's thought of awakening, number 224. The heart is not the thought. The heart is beyond thought. Although the heart can speak through thought when one desires to find the heart in form. The heart is that which cannot be known with thought, although its knowing can be expressed in thought. When looking for the heart, put all thoughts aside. Feel for that which communicates when you move into a place of patient and willing listening. Listen as if you are listening for the voice of silence within the wind. And Cheryl says, the heart is not the thought, it is beyond thoughts, to listen with patience and willingness for the voice of silence within the wind. Yeah. Yeah, your guilt is a mis... Again, this is verse 15. Your guilt is a misperception, nothing more. But your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. It's time to let that obstacle go. And I'm going to that last verse again. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. God has granted you the right to have experience. You have within you the desire to have experience. This desire remains until you've let it go. But you cannot fear it and let it go also. You must let yourself realize the experience to see that the experience can hold no limits that could ever limit or hinder you. Yeah. Cheryl says how to heal, excuse me, Kathy says how to heal the I am bad belief. Ask to see it. Look at it while being aware that it is a belief, not a fact. There's one more, right? Yes. And then rest, accept, and trust. Yeah. Yeah, so we're not trying to deny it. You know, it's funny because it's just another loop I am bad for having these desires, right? I am bad for having the I am bad thought. it's not avoidance. It's like, again, like we just started out, just hold my hand and we'll look at this together. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. You are not bad. You are not your thoughts. Let's look at them and see what it is you're believing. Yeah, okay. We're on page 3 to 4 of 3, 8, 4 of NTI, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Step forth in purpose, and purpose is all that you shall see. You protect your fear. You protect it because you believe it protects you. You believe that there is something worse than fear beneath your fear, and so you protect your fear by keeping it in storage. But you will not find your release this way. You must go forth in purpose, which is the purpose of know thyself. With only this purpose in mind, you must be willing to release everything that is not the purpose, and fear is not the purpose. For fear's purpose is to hide the answer from you. All I can do is relate this back to my current experience, and I'll say I wrote earlier with Holy Spirit because I was just feeling really, really anxious today, and I'm like, what's that about? And the answer is the I am bad thought. It's like, you think that there's a right way to do things, and you think you're not good enough to figure out to discern what the right way is, right? And the guidance was, the answer is to focus on your purpose. Your purpose is to awakening to the one true self. If you keep purpose as your goal, we talk about holding it out in front of us as a beacon, right? If you keep purpose as your goal, everything flows from that, including peace of mind. So, if my purpose is to appear spiritual, if my purpose is to appear as a good spiritual student, if my purpose is anything other than healing, then I'm going to buy into these thoughts that tell me the fear, that rationalize the fear. Well, I'm just trying to do what A Course in Miracles tells me to do, or what NTI tells me to do. I mean, or whatever you come up with, right? If you're doing anything but looking at it for the purpose of healing, then you're not going to get healing. So if you're coming from fear, then you're going to continue to have fear. Fear's purpose is to hide the answer from you.
That's so amazing. You protect your fear, and I know it's absolutely true. And apparently, there's still this belief in personhood, it's a little personhood, and it has to be protected. I mean, if they knew the truth, then I wouldn't be very happy with it.
They certainly wouldn't be tuning in to listen to us on Tuesday nights.
Hell no.
mean, that's the, I mean, yeah, that's it. Yeah, so it's all about this denial and why we do this denial, right? Why we're afraid to look at it because we think it tells the truth about us, the I am bad. We're afraid to look at it directly, to sit with it, to be with it, to turn it over to Holy Spirit or inner wisdom, because we think that is the truth of us. And so we respect the fear instead of really looking at it squarely. We think that this fear is protecting us from our shortcomings, right? Because if that were exposed, then all is lost. You must go forth in purpose, which is the purpose of know thyself. With only this purpose in mind, you must be willing to release everything that is not the purpose, and fear is not the purpose, for fear's purpose is to hide the answer from you. You fear that to let loose your fear and experience it is also to come to the foothold of destruction.
You better avoid that.
Yeah, at all costs. You believe that to step to that place and not be destroyed, you must hold to the last remaining shred of fear. In other words, you truly believe fear is your salvation. This is why you hold to it.
Now, wait a minute.
Nope, you do. You believe it. Go ahead, admit it.
Fear is my salvation. Yeah.
And that's why you hold
to
it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you can see when you don't come clean with things, that's what you're doing. It is protecting you from everything else. It is your savior.
Yeah, it certainly.
It's just so mind-boggling. It.
Yeah, how upside down it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as it says here, but. Fear is not your salvation. Fear is the opposite of salvation. To realize this, you must be willing to experience that which you fear and let it go. By experiencing fear and not perishing, you learn that you cannot perish.
You think you're going to get to just the side of perishment, though.
That's right. the foothold of destruction, right?
Yeah.
By experiencing fear and not perishing, you learn that you cannot perish. This understanding, taken to heart, is a true glimpse of who you are. Hear a trustworthy saying, I am all that I am, and that is all I am promised to be. But I cannot limit myself through fear and know all that I am. I choose to release the limits I have chosen for myself. In their release, I see that I am. Make this the constant prayer of your heart. In purpose, step forth unto your release. Yeah, it's just amazing how close a friend we are with fear. Oh, what a friend I have in fear. Because we believe it protects us. So, you know, so I don't want to... You know, I don't want to tell Regina that what she said about whatever hurt my feelings. I don't want to say it hurt my feelings because I feel lower than low. You know, I feel that I'm not worthy. I don't want to admit things. Afraid to admit things. And it's because I think that, and fears counsel me, oh, you don't want to say that. She'll know you're unable to do the job. She'll know that this is really true about you, right? That's the counsel that I listen to. And we're just being told, fear's not your friend. It's fear that keeps you believing that crap that is not true. So it's time to step through the fear and go, it hurt my feelings when you said that, or whatever, right? Because I think I'm bad, because I think I'm incapable. It's time to quit listening to the counsel of fear. Step through the fear and go, hey, that wasn't too bad. And you know what? I feel better. I'm so glad we're looking at this, right? I mean, that's, and there was a long period of time where that was the mantra for me, was just step through the fear. I don't want to make this phone call. They'll think I'm an idiot. I don't have all the facts. How will I sound? Blah, da, 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 da. And the counsel and the, the inner wisdom counseled, just do it. Just see how it turns out. And then you just have the greatest conversations, and these people are so nice, and they don't care if you don't know, or, or it turns out you do know, or, it's just the whole fear's not your friend. It's telling you you're limited. It's telling you that you're less than. It's telling you things about you that are not true. And as long as you continue to listen to the counsel of fear, you're going to continue to believe those things. And you might see the same thing with this whole, and you and I have talked about it on occasion, with this whole lying through omission, right? That, you just lay it out there, and then whoever you thought wouldn't be with what you had to say may go, huh, or may not. But you're not going to die, so you're trying to keep something intact there. So what is it that you're trying to keep intact and unexposed?
That's a question. You're trying to keep a relate. You're trying to keep a relationship going, and you're trying to do. You're trying to prove somebody not to go, well, I knew that you were stupid.
But boy, this really proves it.
It's just going to prove it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Make this the constant prayer of your heart in purpose, in purpose, step forth unto your release. And Cheryl has, Jay says it's a self-image attempting to be kept. The resurrection is within, for it is the light that has never died, but it has been covered by the mask of false belief. The mask is dark and heavy, and it occupies your every thought when you believe heavily in it. This is why it must be let go. It hides that which is you and is within, living now in peace. It hides all this, and it tells you that the truth is not true. As long as you hide in fear, you believe it. You believe the false, and it is fear that keeps you standing there. Okay. So we're going to end it there, and we're going to do this again next week. We love you guys. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate your participation.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. See you guys next time.